RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and Focus News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headline. Indonesia and Germany committed an effort to defend climate change rate. Priority of Germany's investment in Indonesia. And now the news in detail. Indonesia is one of German partners in an effort to withstand the pace of global climate change that currently affect human life on Earth in the future. Indonesia and Germany have committed to try to curb the rate of climate change in various ways. This was conveyed by German Ambassador to Indonesia Michael Vreer von Ungen Stenberg to Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Monday, 2nd of October. Ambassador Ungen Stenberg added, in addition to Indonesia, Germany is also committed with various other countries related to efforts to curb the climate change rate. However, Indonesia is considered to have a very important role both in Asia even in the world. Good relationship between Germany and Indonesia has held a long time. This was said by the German ambassador to Indonesia, His Excellency Michael Vreer von Ungen Stenberg, on Monday, 2nd of October, at the German embassy Jakarta in a special interview with Voice of Indonesia in the framework of the German Unity Day. According to Ambassador von Ungen Stenberg, the cooperation between Indonesia and Germany, covering various areas of economy, trade, culture, education, intergovernmental relation, and civil society and politics. Furthermore, Ambassador Stenberg said that Germany's investment priority in Indonesia is to create employment, technology transfer, and vocational education. Meanwhile, Ambassador von Ungen Stenberg said that Indonesia is an important country for Germany. Indonesia is a country with dynamic population growth and has great economic opportunities in the field of education. Many Indonesian students study in Germany. In the last 1 year, the number of Indonesian students in Germany has increased for more than 4,000. Indonesia also has an important role in the Southeast ASEAN region or ASEAN. In the EU, Indonesia builds cooperation in the CEPA or Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement. Germany has a very high interest to Indonesia, especially in infrastructure, transport, and energy. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has warned ministers and heads of state agencies to facilitate investors. Any problems or obstacle faced by investor, he said, should immediately be addressed. He said on Monday, October 2nd, in a cabinet meeting at the State Palace, Jakarta, the business world must be facilitated, assisted. He said that The efforts to facilitate businesses are key because they help the government in job creation and infrastructure. The president highlights permit issues that he says should have been made easier. In the draft 2018 state budget, the economic growth is expected to reach 5.2 to 5.6% with an inflation rate of 2.5 to 4.5%. The rupiah exchange is set at 13,300 to 13,500 per US dollar. Earlier in June at the House of Representatives DPR Budget Council meeting, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani said that Indonesia's economic growth for 2018 will be underpinned by improved export and growth of economic sectors. The president continued to reiterate the importance of the efforts to facilitate investors. Aside from helping investors, the president also expects the 2018 state budget to reduce poverty. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economic Darmin Nasution said there is still from or step that could be taken by the Financial Service Authority or OJK to cut lending rates. Darmin said in Jakarta on Monday, October 2nd, that OJK could do something other than Bank Indonesia cutting its BI 7-day reverse repo rate. He said OJK could push for rate cut to adjust to the central bank's reference interest rate, which has been cut to 4.25%. He said the financial industry watchdog once took similar measure by giving facility to the banking industry in a bid to reduce the non-performing loan or NPL ratio. Credit-based interest rate SDBK was once adopted by Bank Indonesia. He cited, adding OJK could set benchmark to force bank to cut their lending rates. Meanwhile, OJK Chief Commissioner Wimbo Santoso said commitment with the banking industry is needed as this sector is not sufficient enough with high operating costs contributing to an increased net interest margin. The coordinating This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Wiranto, said that he would settle issues on the import of Indonesian police firearms, which are still at Soekarno-Hatta Airport. As previously reported, 280 Arsenal Standalone Grenade Launcher, or SAGL, caliber for 40 times 46 millimeters, and 5,932 bullets have arrived at Soekarno-Hatta International Airport on Friday. The firearms are still at the airport cargo warehouse. The National Police Headquarters confirmed the import of the weapons, which were sent abroad a Ukraine Airlines by PT Mustika Duta Mas Senjata. According to the National Police Public Relations Division Head Inspector General of Police, Sotio Wasisto, the weapons belong to the institution and are legal items with legal procurement. The weapons arrive only few days after Military Chief General Gatot Nurmantyo disclosed an intelligence information on importation of 5,000 firearms. The police deny allegation that the import was illegal, as it has been the third import after imports in 2015 and 2016. He assured that the controversy would not disturb security situation in the country. The Labour Minister M. Hanif Dakhiri has called on the public to continue the efforts to conserve batik as Indonesia's cultural heritage to save the industry that could absorb millions of workers. The ministers also said conserving batik would not only save the cultural heritage but also promote the industry that could absorb millions of workers from the upstream to downstream sectors. The country commemorated the National Batik Day on October 2nd, following UNESCO's decision to add the traditional dyeing technique to its intangible cultural heritage list. According to Hanif, batik craftsmen should be more creative and innovative in a bid to preserve batik and improve its competitiveness. In the global market, the minister has also encouraged the industry to use e-commerce in its marketing, as it has been proven to be easier and more efficient in the era of ASEAN Economic Community. And the last item, an unknown disease has caused dozens of cattle deaths in Siguntur Nagari, or the traditional village in Dharmasraya district, West Sumatra province. Aswat, chief of Siguntur traditional village, stated in Dharmasraya district on Monday, October 2nd, there were no visible symptoms. All of a sudden, the cattle had seizures and died. The condition has been occurring for the last 2 weeks. The cases of cattle death have been reported in 5 out of 6 jorongs, which are the smaller units of traditional village of Siguntur Nagari. At least 73 cows in Nagari were reported dead due to unknown disease. Chief of Siguntur Nagari recalled that a cow which was suspected to carry an unknown disease from a neighboring hamlet was wandering inside Siguntur Nagari territory prior to the deaths of dozens of cattle in the region. Meanwhile, head of Livestock Department of Dharmasraya Agriculture Office, Dodi Sandra, noted that the office had received dozens of reports on the sudden deaths of cattle in Siguntur Nagari. The local authority has deployed a team to provide 500 vials of vaccine of Jembrana disease, an acute viral disease of cattle, for the remaining cattle in the affected region. And to end the news, here are the main points once again. Indonesia and Germany committed to an effort to defend climate change rate, priority of Germany's investment in Indonesia. And that was the news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with commentary for today entitled Globalizing Indonesian Batik. On October 2, 2017, many Indonesian people wore batik shirt. This is one of way of commemorating the National Batik Day that falls on that date. Since UNESCO declared batik as a masterpiece of the oral and intangible heritage of humanity on October 2, 2009, many people of Indonesia wear batik cloth. The determination of National Batik Day is strengthened by Presidential's Decree No. 33/2009, based on consideration to improve the positive image and dignity of the Indonesian nation in international forums. Of course, this is to grow the pride and love of the Indonesian people for their culture. Another goal is to improve public awareness of the protection and development of Indonesian batik. According to historical records, batik art has grown in Indonesia since the 17th century. It was written or painted on palm leaves with patterns or motifs that are still dominated by the shape of animals and plants. In its development, batik motif becomes more diverse. It is known that there are many regions across Indonesia that have a distinctive batik style. But now, batik motifs from Java Island still dominate the batik industry in Indonesia. The meaning of National Batik Day is not enough just to feel proud, because this cultural heritage is recognized internationally. Even batik clothes are worn on special occasion. More importantly, this is the responsibility of the Indonesian people to maintain and develop Indonesian batik art. Indonesian batik industry must be able to compete in the international market. As quoted from the Secretary General of the Ministry of Industry, Haris Bonandar, he said that the export value of batik and batik products until the first semester of 2017 reached $39.4 million, with the main markets of Japan, the United States, and Europe. The world's trading clothes products that reached $442 billion become a great opportunity for Indonesian batik industry to increase its market share. This can be achieved through non-stop promotion of batik. The introduction of batik with various motifs and philosophy contained in it must continue to be implemented. Collaboration with international parties in fashion needs to be strengthened. Indonesian fashion designers should use more batik as a design to be promoted to the international world. Wearing batik for the state guests, such as president, head of state, or international leaders who visit Indonesia, can also be a strategic way to promote Indonesian batik. Another important point to keep in mind is the regeneration of Indonesian batik crafters. Considering today that most of Indonesian batik craft women or makers are old enough, over 40 years old, the socialization of batik and batik profession should be carried out more frequently. This is necessary to raise the awareness of the young generation of Indonesian that batik is also a promising profession, and the batik industry has an important role in the national economy. Hopefully, Indonesian batik persists to be sustainable and growing. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. So let's start with October the 3rd, 1943. PETA is founded. PETA, or Defenders of the Homeland, or in Japanese Kyodo Boi Gyugun, is an Indonesian volunteer army established on October the 3rd, 1943 in Indonesia by the Japanese colonial government at that time. On August 18, 1945, the day after the proclamation of Indonesian independence, under the Japanese capitulation agreement with the Allies, the Imperial Japanese Army ordered all PETA battalions to surrender their weapons. The newly inaugurated President of the Republic of Indonesia, Sukarno, supported this dissolution rather than turning PETA into a national army due to Allies' allegations that the newborn Indonesia is a collaborator of the Japanese Empire if it allows the Japanese-created militia to continue. The contribution and role of PETA soldiers during the Indonesian War of Independence was enormous. Similarly, the role of former PETA army in Indonesian independence. Some of the former PETA figures included former President Suharto and Great General Sudirman. The former PETA army became an important part of the formation of the Indonesian National Military.
To commemorate the PETA Army struggle on December 18, 1995, a PETA monument was inaugurated in Bogor, the former headquarters of PETA. Over now to October 3, 1965, the bodies of the victims of the September 30th movement found in Lubang Buaya Wells. The September the 30th movement, or often abbreviated as G30S, PKI or Gestok Movement, 1 October, occurred in the night of September the 30th until the dawn of October the 1st, 1965, in which 6 high-ranking Indonesian military officers, along with several others, were killed in an attempted coup allegedly to be done by members of the Communist Party of Indonesia. Commander of the then Army Strategic Command, Major General Suharto, then launched a crackdown on the movement. The 6 top officials killed were Lieutenant General Ahmad Yani, Major General Raden Suprapto, Major General Mastrito Darmo Haryono, Major General Siswondo Parman, Brigadier General Donald Isak Panjaitan, Brigadier General Sutoyo Siswami Harjo, while General Abdul Haris Nasution, the main target, survived the assassination attempt. Instead, his daughter Ade Irma Suryani Nasution and his aide, Lieutenant Pierre Andreas Tendian, were killed. The victims were then discharged to a location in Pondok Gede, Jakarta, known as Lubang Buaya. Their bodies were found on October the 3rd, 1965. The last is from October the 3rd, 1990, West Germany and East Germany reunite. The German state was formally reunited on October the 3rd, 1990, when 6 Eastern German states officially joined the Federal Republic of Germany, or West Germany then. To facilitate the process of reuniting Germany and to convince other countries, West Germany made some changes to the constitution. That is Today in History of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, welcome back with me. In focus, the title of today's focus is Investment is able to encourage national economic growth. Investment should be enhanced to encourage the economic growth. With greater investment, the national economic growth could reach 6-7%. At present, the most important thing is not only about realizing interests, but also realizing the investment. To encourage this, good infrastructure and licensing are required. This was stated by Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati as a speaker at the Central Pertamina office in Jakarta on last Friday, September 29. She explained that high investment interest from investors needs to be supported by various things, ranging from infrastructure connectivity to ease of licensing process. She views that more foreign investors want to invest, but Indonesia's infrastructure is in question and licensing is complicated. She also explained that in recent years, the rate of economic growth and investment has been quite good. Besides, Minister Sri Mulyani added that in the country, the consumption and investment are relatively strong enough. Even in 2017, the economic growth of 5% supported investment and consumption is quite stable. In the second quarter of this year, the performance of the investment is assumed 5.4%. Thus, compared to 2016, the growth investment was 4.2%. To achieve economic growth of 6-7%, investment growth should continue to be increased by both foreign investment and domestic investment. Minister Sri Mulyani views that Indonesia's foreign investment and domestic investment are relatively good, both growing 12.7%. But if Indonesia wants economic growth of 6% or 7%, the investment growth could be higher than 12.7%. In addition, she also remarked that Indonesia has sufficient capital if it wants to increase the amount of investment. Indonesia becomes a very attractive country in investment sector because there is market and the purchasing power is high. This needs to be supported with a stable and good macroeconomic policy. Listener, that's the focus today. Thanks for listening.
Here is our news in brief.
Indonesia is one of German partners in an effort to withstand the pace of global climate change that currently affect human life on Earth in the future. Good relationship between Germany and Indonesia has held a long time. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has warned ministers and heads of state agencies to facilitate investors. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economy, Darmin Nasution, said there is still room or step that could be taken by the Financial Services Authority or OJK to cut lending rates. The Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Wiranto, said that we would settle issues on the import of Indonesian police firearms, which are still at Soekarno-Hatta Airport. The Labor Minister, M. Hanif Dakhiri, has called on the public to continue the effort to conserve batik as Indonesia's cultural heritage to save the industry that could absorb millions of workers. And the last item, an unknown disease has caused dozens of cattle deaths in Siguntur Nagari, or the traditional village in Dharmasraya district, West Sumatra province. And that was our news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to the regular Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. Today, we'll invite you to know about Gumbrengan tradition from Gunung Kidul, Yogyakarta. Stay tuned. Majority of Indonesians work as farmers. For farmers, in Indonesia, livestock is very special because of its great role to help the farmers work on the rice field. The animal's dirt can be used to fertilize the soil. Agricultural products are also transported with livestock, especially when modern transportation are not yet available. In addition, the farmers also hope that livestock can become their savings in the future, because the bigger the farm animals, the price will be more expensive. The size of the role of livestock in the life of farmers, making farmers desperately need them. Therefore, forgiving life and fortune through farm animals. The tradition that has been going on for generations is held by the people of Padukuhan Blimbing, Karangrejok Village, Wonosari Sub-District, Gunung Kidul, Yogyakarta. The tradition is usually held annually in the month of Suro or Muharram, a month considered sacred by Javanese society and usually held once a year. Gumbrengan tradition begins with a mass prayer. Some traditional food dishes are served, such as kasava, kimpul, kupat or rice-based dishes wrapped in woven young coconut leaves, kolak pisang, jada, and tremboli. There is also among among, a white rice wrapped in banana leaves with taper shaped and small size. After prayer, the event continued to the cattle cage. The clear water that is included in the prayer procession is then sprinkled to the head of the livestock. Some foods are also given directly to the animal, especially cow and goats, as a gratitude for the role of the animal in seeking fortune. On the sidelines of Gumbregan tradition, the residents were also entertained by children's art from the traditional performance of dance studio. While at night, it is usually held shadow puppet performance. The Gumbregan tradition was held during sick days when the villagers and farmers come home from their field. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Gumbregan Tradition from Yogyakarta. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station and the Agency for Language Development, Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is ke Taman Safari, or in English, to Safari Garden. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice. You can follow after me. Hari Sabtu. Hari Sabtu. In English, Saturday. Kebun binatang. Kebun binatang. In English, zoo. Pergi. Pergi. To go. Sudah lama. Sudah lama. It's been a long time. Melihat, melihat, to see. Monyet, monyet, monkeys. Binatang, binatang, animal. Panda, panda, panda. Dua, dua, two. Datang, datang, to come. Cina, cina, China. Harimau, harimau, tiger. Singa, singa, lion. Gajah, gajah, elephant. Jerapah, jerapah, giraffe. Kanguru, kanguru, kangaroo. Lain-lain, lain-lain, others. Oke, diulang. Lain-lain, lain-lain, others. Sabtu pagi, Saturday morning. Jemput, jemput, to pick up. Tunggu, tunggu, to wait. Di rumah, at home. Next is a conversation on Ketaman Safari, or in English, to Safari Park or Safari Garden. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Nita and Ika at the office. Ika, hari Sabtu saya mau ke kebun binatang. Ika, hari Sabtu saya mau ke kebun binatang. In English, Ika, on Saturday, I'm going to the zoo. Apakah kamu mau pergi bersama saya? Apakah kamu mau pergi bersama saya? In English, are you coming with me? Ya, saya juga sudah lama tidak pergi ke kebun binatang. Ya, saya juga sudah lama tidak pergi ke kebun binatang. Yes, it's been a long time since I went to the zoo. Saya suka melihat monyet. Saya suka melihat monyet. I like to see the monkeys. Kamu suka melihat binatang apa? Kamu suka melihat binatang apa? What kind of animal do you like to see? Saya paling suka binatang panda. Saya paling suka binatang panda. I love panda most. Bagaimana kalau kita ke taman safari? Bagaimana kalau kita ke taman safari? How about going to safari park? Saya dengar ada 2 ekor panda datang dari Cina. Saya dengar ada 2 ekor panda datang dari Cina. I heard there are 2 pandas coming from China. Oh, saya senang sekali. Oh, saya senang sekali. Oh, I'd love that. Selain melihat monyet, kita juga bisa melihat harimau, singa, gajah, jerapah, kanguru, dan lain-lain. Selain melihat monyet, kita bisa juga melihat harimau, singa, gajah, jerapah, kanguru, dan lain-lain. Besides seeing the monkeys, we can also see the tiger, lion, elephant, giraffe, kangaroo, and others. Kalau begitu, Sabtu pagi saya jemput kamu. Kalau begitu, Sabtu pagi saya jemput kamu. In that case, on Saturday morning, I'll pick you up. Terima kasih. Terima kasih. Thank you. Saya tunggu kamu di rumah. Saya tunggu kamu di rumah. I'll be waiting for you at home. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, sampai berjumpa lagi. Until we meet again.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present dangdut songs, so stay tuned.
Namun tak lagi mewangi bunga di tangkai hati. Kini telah layu pupus tiada semi kembali. Karena kau pergi tinggalkan ku sendiri, sisakan hampa dalam sedih. Hatiku betapa ku merindukanmu. Dengarlah kasih, dengarlah sayang, ku dendang syair kesunyian. Namun tak lagi mewangi bunga di tangkai hati. Layu pupus tiada semi kembali. Karena kau pergi tinggalkan ku sendiri, sisakan hampa dalam. Selamanya rindu ku bawa hingga aku, hingga aku menutup mata. Namun tak lagi mewangi bunga di tangkai hati. Kini telah layu pupus tiada semi. Karena kau pergi tinggalkan ku sendiri, sisakan hampa di dalam sepi.
Listener, you've just listened to the song Syair Kesunyian sung by dangdut singer Juan Rahman, an alumni of one dangdut contest on the private television, which was also become the best male dangdut singer of Indonesia Dangdut Award 2016 version. Composed by Nurbayan, the song Syair Kesunyian was just released in mid-September. The song tells about the silence that is felt when someone leaves us. Arranged by Marcel Aulia and assisted by Ari Suzanne as vocal director, Juan's new single sounds very elegant and luxurious, where the music and lyrics reinforce each other. Through this song, Juan hopes that he becomes an artist who contributes well to dangdut music in the country. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Me Time by Juan Rahman. Happy listening.
Hai Kak Eri.
Hai Ade. Kita me time yuk.
Wah, pas banget. Gimana kalau kita jalan-jalan?
Oke.
Okay, sampai ketemu ya. Dadah.
Dadah.
Santai dulu. jadi mungkin ku bikin kamu keki. Maaf teman-teman lagi pengen sendiri.
The Dangdut singer, who was born in Mandailing Natal, North Sumatra in 1988, is one of alumnis of Dangdut contest event at the private television station in 2007. Although he did not win in the Dangdut contest, Juan is steady in career as a male Dangdut singer in the country. He then released his first single entitled Untung Ada Kamu in 2013. Successfully with the song, Juan re-released several singles, one of them Me Time or Kurang Piknik. In the single, Juan is not alone. He dedicated Me Time along with Dangdut singer Eri Susan. The song, released in early 2017, was composed by Adibal. In this duet, Eri Susan and Juan Rahman offer EDM or electronic dance music genre. They call it Edut or electronic dangdut. Unlike the previous songs, the song Me Time is more cheerful, so very fun to sway. Well, listener, to conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Kiblat Cinta and Madu. Happy listening.
Hidupku, oh, dan juga matiku. Kau kiblat cintaku, oh, dan arah rinduku. Tawaku, oh, dan juga tangisku. Engkau bahagiaku, oh, dan juga sedihku. Kau indah.
rasa kau indah.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Nafasku akan terhenti bila kau tiada. Madu, madu, orangnya manis, semanis madu, membuat hati selalu rindu.
apa senyuman manis bibirmu. Aku tak bisa berpisah darimu sayangku. Sehari saja tak jumpa, rindu aku rindu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.